We're going to look this evening at some of the most well-known verses in the whole of the Bible, Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30, these very familiar words. Our title this evening is Rest for Your Souls. We read in verse 28, Come unto me, and I will give you rest. This is one of those classic Bible texts. I'm sure we know these words well. It's quite possible I don't say anything this evening which is new or original, but it may be you've not fully understood what these words mean. And so we come to look at these words and pray that they will be a help to someone here this evening. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Pharisees in the main, those who were the religious types of the day. He'd preached in the towns, in the cities, in the villages of the area, places like Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, little villages just north and northwest of the Lake of Galilee. And yet, despite the privileges that these people had, to hear the greatest preacher that there will ever be, to see the miracles that he performed over nature, over sickness, illness, demon possession, despite all these privileges, these people had not repented. Verse 20, it tells us, because they repented not, the Lord Jesus speaks to them. These are some of the most solemn words in verses 20 and 21. We've looked at them before, some months ago. The Lord Jesus is saying, woe, woe. He's saying, you people, you don't know how good you've had it. You've heard the gospel. You've seen me demonstrate who I am, the power that God has vested in me as a human being. You've seen me demonstrate that I am indeed the Son of God, co-equal with the Father. Well, these people, they believed in one God. They believed that he was holy. They believed that he reveals himself through the Bible, through his word, as well as through creation. They had so much knowledge, so many advantages, so many privileges, but still they would not repent. Something was stopping them. Is there someone here tonight? And you know all these things. You too have had many advantages, many privileges, and yet there's something stopping you. There's something hindering you. You have not repented, as the Lord Jesus says. They looked at their own lives and they thought that they were good. That was the main problem. They judged themselves by looking at other people. Their righteousness was a comparative righteousness. Look at me versus her versus him was a lesson. Never ever look at somebody else, thinking that you are better than them in any respect. When it comes to the matters of God and of your soul and heart, may your only standard be the three times holy God. Look at him and then see how far short you come. They were weighed down, it seems, by laws. In verse 28, it speaks about a heavy burden, heavy laden. There was, in their own eyes, these 600 or more Levitical laws, and it was as though they weared them. They put them on their shoulders. They were worn every minute of the day. It was a crushing load. How could they possibly keep them? The words the Lord Jesus uses here is a yoke, not an egg yoke, a yoke that is worn on the shoulders, usually of an animal, something like an ox. The idea of the yoke is to try and rebalance the load so that it's evenly distributed across the shoulders of the animal. The Lord Jesus uses this picture of a yoke, these laws, 600 or more of them. They were crushing them every day. The law just beat down upon them. Have I kept that one? Have I kept that one? In every detail, in the strictest literal possible sense, these laws were never intended for that purpose. They were never intended to be a checklist to see how good we are. They were actually intended to show us how sinful we are. They were a representation of what we needed to be like in order to enter heaven. And we quickly find that we cannot keep them. They were intended to show that we need a Savior, that we can't save ourselves, we can't be good enough. We need a Savior. You see, there was a burden. Somebody have a burden tonight? That picture of pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, weighed down with that heavy burden. Is there somebody that has a burden? Maybe the burden of expectation. What your parents expect of you. They expect you to be like them. To value the things that they value. To walk the path through life that they are walking. This burden of expectation. Is there some other burden? You know what your own heart is like, but you're trying to keep up some form of pretense. That's what the Pharisees were like. A public persona and a private reality. Is that us in our hearts? Outwardly good and righteous. Inwardly unacceptable to God. Well, he's spoken so firmly, even harshly, in verses 20 and 21, and makes the comparison and says, you people, the people of Sodom, would have listened more than you have done. Well, what harsh and strict and condemning words for all the people that were listening. But then we come to these three, perhaps the most tender verses consecutively in the whole of the Bible. Oh, I don't know, but they seem that way to me. I just want to ask three questions this evening. Who's speaking? What's he saying? And what must I do? It's so plain in these verses. Firstly, who is speaking? Well, it's a stupid question. It's so obvious. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking, but that's not what I mean. The answer isn't just that. We need to look back at the verses before, from verse 25. The Lord Jesus answered, having been so condemning, and he says, I thank thee, O Father. There's a prayer. He speaks to God the Father in heaven. And he says he's thankful that God the Father has invested in him all wisdom, knowledge, and truth. And these things have been hidden from the people that think they're clever, the people that think they're wise and careful to observe God's laws, even though they could not. And instead, the Lord Jesus is going to address children, babes, people that have a childish, humble, simple heart. People that don't overly complicate things, that don't get caught up in the minutiae, that just accept God's word as it is, has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 27, all things. God has given me all truth, all knowledge, all wisdom, and you can only go to heaven. You can only go to the Father through the Son. It could not be clearer, could not be plainer. So who is speaking? Well, it's Christ. But it's actually God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, and heaven itself is speaking. My friend, tonight, when we come to what he's saying, if you don't listen, you're rejecting the whole of heaven. You're rejecting God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The whole power, the whole authority of your Creator God is vested in these three verses. This is heaven speaking to your soul. Who is speaking? It's all the Godhead, the triune God. Well, tonight, would you reject your Creator? Would you reject the most important voice that could ever speak to you in the whole of your life? Would you close your ears? Would you turn a blind eye? Would you reject such a one? Look at the way he describes himself in these verses. Verse 29, I am meek. I've just chastised you. I've just condemned you. But that's not really my nature. That's only part of it. I am meek. The Lord Jesus Christ, he came to earth as a humble child, not in a palace, in a stable. He came in the humblest possible way. He wore the humblest clothes. His occupation was humble. His parables were humble. Everything about him was humble and down to earth. He was meek and lowly in heart. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Can you reject one so humble, so lonely, one that speaks so tenderly to you, stooping down from heaven as it were, coming down with all the power of the Godhead and speaking to individual souls, meek, lowly, one who loves peace. That's literally what meek means. One who is peaceful and loves peace and brings peace and gives peace. This is the one that speaks. Would you reject him? Would you with force push him away? Would you listen to the one who is meek and lowly in heart? Well, this is the one that speaks. And he's unique. You can't speak to anyone else like him. The people that listened to him, this is what they said. They were amazed at his teaching and his manner and his style. They were astonished at his power. They saw his authority not like our teachers, not like the scribes, not like our religious leaders. Amazed, astonished, he had authority, he was unique. Never one like him. And yet he speaks, and he reveals God and God's heart to each one who will listen. He won't force, because he's meek and lowly. There's many religions that would force, would distort, would twist, would almost hypnotize the people into accepting something, not this one. I'm meek and lowly. I come with truth. I come to convict, to convince, and to enable each person to see themselves and to see what God is like. Well, that's the one that speaks, but what's he saying? Well, there's three words that we can use to describe these three verses. He comes with an invitation. An invitation. He says, come, come. One of those simple words of the Bible. And yet it explains everything that we need to know. We need to leave. We need to go. We need to come to a person. Come unto me. It couldn't be simpler. An invitation from one who is unique, from heaven, from one that speaks to individuals, and one who cannot be refused, should not be refused. What are you going to do? Run away? Not listen? Make excuses? I'm busy. I've got something more important to do. More important than your soul that will never die? More important than the soul that one day will stand before God and give an account of what you've done and said and been? No, this is an invitation and it's urgent. Come unto me, the Lord Jesus says, and the invitation is kind. He doesn't tell us to do anything else. He doesn't say, go and keep every one of the 600 laws. He just says, come. He knows you cannot keep them. I can't keep them. Every day I break God's laws, and I'm sure you do too if you know it. And this invitation, it's urgent, it's kind, and it's free. Nothing to pay. But also, this isn't just an invitation, it's a command. We can say it more firmly. Come, come unto me. This isn't the headmaster speaking or the headmistress. Come here. It's a kind but firm invitation, a command to come, to reckon with God, to stand before him now. Not to wait, don't delay it until it's too late. It's also a promise. He comes and he says, come unto me. I will give you rest. There's no doubt. If you come, he will. He won't turn any away. He won't refuse any single person that leaves, repents, and comes. An invitation, a command, and a promise. A promise that comes from heaven. A command that comes from heaven. An invitation. Would you reject an invitation? Maybe you have somebody that asks you to go to a wedding. You don't much care for them. They've never been particularly kind. It's quite helpful at the moment. We can only have 30 to weddings. That makes it so much easier. Don't have to invite so and so. Don't have. Will you be invited? You are being invited tonight. The question is, what will you do with that invitation? The invitation goes out to the people that have already rejected him. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum, hundreds of them, thousands had rejected, and still the Lord Jesus says, come. Still he commands, still he invites. What a contrast. Come, come, and I will give you rest. Not the laws, not the burden, not being laid down with this heavy weight upon the shoulders, like pilgrim, making a stoop, doubled over, bent over with the heavy load upon our shoulders. Well, what's he saying? But thirdly and finally, what must I do? Well, he tells us, come, come. That's all I need to do. But before I come, I've got to stop. I've got to stop laboring. Stop laboring and thinking that I can please God. Stop thinking that everything needs to be perfect. God doesn't call perfect people to himself. He wouldn't call anyone. He calls the sinners. He calls those that need a physician. He calls those that need his help. He calls those that have realized they can't keep the laws. What must I do? Stop trying. Stop laboring. Stop carrying your own burden. And come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What does he promise? He promises rest. What does that mean? The absence of struggle, the absence of trying to please God. But it also means peace, the end of conflict, the end of struggle, the end of thinking that I will please God eventually, if only I try a bit harder, if only it's within me to achieve, to accomplish. You see, this is speaking to the self-righteous, the ones who think that they're good enough. What must I do? Well, you must respond to this invitation. You need to go. There is, in a sense, something for you to do. We thought this morning, those that were here, of that illustration of going down into a mine, into a black pit where it's dark. But if you're going to get out of that pit, and you are in a pit, believe you me, that's the expression used in the Psalms. It describes about the pit, and the one that can bring me out of the pit, the only one. What do you need to do? Get into the cage of the lift shaft. The only way out of the pit. You just need to get in. Come. Come, it says. Come unto me. Get into Christ. He's not a cage. He is the tender, the gentle, the meek, the lowly in heart one that says, come. Come in. Come inside, get into the ark, get into the means of safety, the only way of escape. You see, this is a message speaking directly to our souls. Here it is, verse 29. Ye shall find rest for your souls. This is about that part of us that's so valuable, our hearts, our souls. And the Lord Jesus speaks to you tonight. And he says, bring your soul. Bring it before me. Come. Lay it down. Surrender. Stop fighting. Stop trying. Come to me. I'm lowly. What does he give me instead of the burden that I carry, instead of this yoke that weighs me down? He says it in verse 30. My yoke is easy. That does not mean that you can live life the way you please. It doesn't mean that all of God's laws are gone forever. No, it means that you'll want to keep them now, because you'll want to please him. You'll do it out of a glad heart. You'll come to him, you'll turn to him, and you'll wear his easy yoke, the yoke that enables us to want to keep God's laws. His burden is light. It's not a tick list anymore. It's not a series of laws that show us how woefully short we come. It's a standard that we live to, that we seek to live for, that we seek to please God, but he's so gracious. When I've come to Christ and I fall, he forgives. He forgives and forgives and forgives again. Come unto me. Well, tonight, would you refuse such a kind, a gracious invitation? Would you turn away one that speaks in short, simple words, as though we were all children, as though we were all babes? God reveals these things, not in some high, convoluted way. He just uses, they're almost all words of one syllable. Have you noticed? Come unto me, all you. He's speaking so plainly. Well, we must come. He offers peace, this peace that no one else can give. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Isn't that what I want? I want to live through life with peace. Peace in my heart, not fighting, not arguing with God, not fighting to try to keep the laws of God in order to get into heaven, but knowing that Christ has kept the law. He has fulfilled the law. And when he shed his blood on Calvary, every transgression of the law, every breaking of the law that I have done, he's washed away and he's offered up his perfect righteousness, so that I can have that peace with him. This is what we need tonight. Is there anyone struggling, wearing that burden, finding life difficult? Is there anyone that would still reject him? Hear his words once more. Come unto me. Go to him tonight. He draws you. He invites you. I can say on the authority of this verse that everybody is welcome. None is pushed away. All you need to do is to come. Go and find rest for your souls, even this very night. Let's pray together. Our loving and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this tenderest invitation, this urgent summons to come, and this kind promise. O Lord, may it not fall on deaf or shut ears, but may we hear it, may we listen to it, may we accept it, and may we go to the Saviour, the only Saviour, the one that calls us this very night. Lord, help and bless each soul. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.